right, folks, welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined, as always, it is...
Matty Juice! What is going on, Tommy? It has been quite a while since we've chatted, and I'm excited. I'm excited for today's episode. I hope you are as well.
I am. I can't even say words. That's how excited I am. This is going to be such a banger because guess what? You get to do the talking because we're going to be doing a retro review of Blasphemous, a pretty fun game. I'll let you be talking about it. But, you know, I played it back when it came out in 2019, 6 years ago. it's a long time ago. I was in my 20s. I will say that. And that's all you need to know. What point in my 20s? You may never know. But we do have a great episode for you, despite me being in my 30s. And first off, we're going to catch up a little bit. What's going on? What's new with you?
Yeah, just, really had a great week. I don't know. Not too much. We started watching a new show called The Studio,
ooh,
which is on Apple TV. I don't know, Seth Rogen's in it. I think he's also like an executive producer, creator, something like that of the show, I think. But watched the first episode of that. Apple TV has just been having great shows for us. Like we just really love everything, almost everything that they put out. And this one, at least first episode, was great as well. It's about the is it about the music industry or the movie industry? One of the two. For some reason, it could be both. Yes, it's about a legacy Hollywood movie studio. That's what it is. Bryan Cranston's in it as well. Plays a really great character. So, it's a cool show. It's a cool show so far. We're only one episode in. I think there's only two episodes out right now. So my opinion could change, but so far so good with The Studio. Maybe it'll eventually be in a rec room. We'll have to see how the first season goes.
Yeah. I mean, I think you were telling me about that the other day. I have so many shows I need to watch. Still just, watching The Sopranos when I can. And it's just great. I had an okay week. Both me and the wife had a long, arduous week, I think. So what we did, I told her, I was like, listen, you know what we're doing on Friday? She said, what? And I said, what did I say? No, we're going to go somewhere and we're going to have margaritas and we're going to have Mexican food and we're just going to eat a bunch of appetizers and just sit there, get a little buzz going and just eat cheese and gab, And yeah, that's what we did. We went to this place actually over by where we used to live because that's the closest Mexican restaurant to us that has a liquor license. So, we were like, it is good there. So sat there, had a pitcher of margarita, and then, we got some appetizers, like the guacamole that they make at the edge of the table, fun stuff. And then what else did we get? We got some basically jalapeno poppers, but they were better. Promise me. I promise you. I promise me too. I promise everybody. They're really good. And then we got this thing called queso fundido, which is just like a queso dip, but it had chorizo and mushrooms, and it was just so good. Like the cheese pull from it was almost like you're a magician pulling the stuff out of the hat.
Damn.
It's when does the cheese end? And my life began. And it was tasty. We also got a quesadilla to split as well. A little chicken quesadilla. So we were feeling good. We're eating, chips, salsa, guac. We were just we earned this. And it was a good time. It was a good time. So I'll shout out the restaurant. El Patron, Glen Gardner, New Jersey.
Oh.
You guys are doing good stuff over there. Across the street from one of the best barbecue places I've ever been to, and I know anybody from the South would be like, there's no way there's a good barbecue in New Jersey. There is. It's the real deal barbecue. It's literally a roadside hut that only open 2 days a week, but you get it, you're just like, oh, this is so good. So Shout out the Real Deal Barbecue as well.
Hell yeah. But 2 days a week, damn.
Maybe three, maybe Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I think.
Yeah. Still good, you know, like, yeah. You know.
And I don't think they're open in the winter. They only do it in the, like, spring, fall, and summer. So.
Yeah. Cool.
Gotta get over there. So.
It's the real deal.
It is the real deal. Now, we do have a great episode for you. We're going to be talking about Blasphemous. But first, yes, you heard right. We have a Discord. The Juice Heads is a great place to hang out. It's in the show notes below. Join it. Get in there. Talk to us. We're lonely. No, we're not. There's thousands of people in that Discord. Please check it out. And, you know, it's just chill. Have a good time. It's a good time over there. So take a look. But also, what is RuneScape doing?
RuneScape's doing everything, Tom. So RuneScape, or Jagex, I guess is the name of the developer, they are making a new RuneScape game called RuneScape Dragon Wilds. It's an open world survival game, co-op, 1 to 4 players. They've released a little bit of kind of snippets of gameplay, but nothing, you know, in terms of like a full game session or what that might look like, but just little snippets here and there. It's had quite a bit of hype around it. It actually had an alpha or a pre-alpha that was under NDA. So there's been a few people that I guess that NDA has been lifted now that they've announced the game that have come out and said that it's awesome. They say it's really, you know, there's a few things here and there that I think they could fix, but the overall sentiment has been really positive. So I know this was floating around my group chat with some fellas, and they were very excited for it. Apparently, there will be an early access release on PC sometime this spring, so soon, and then a wider launch, including console, sometime in 2026. Now, I have seen a little bit of negative feedback about apparently you'll have to log in through an Epic Games account in order to play this. That's a whole nother story of why people were even really that upset about that. But apparently, I don't know if Jagex is owned by Epic or they have some sort of Epic's invested in them. I'm not really sure, but it does look really cool. It's right up my alley. I think I can definitely get some fellows to play this one. But yeah, RuneScape Dragonwild sounds pretty cool, and you get to fight dragons. So,
yeah, this is actually really surprising to me because like RuneScape doesn't need to be doing anything. I feel like they got a great player base in both old school and their like regular updated version of RuneScape. I'm surprised about the Epic Store news, to be honest, because never really needed that for anything else they've ever done. So. Maybe Epic kind of threw them some funding there to get them to kind of make it a little bit of an exclusive of sorts. I mean, it's on Steam, so it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, apparently it'll just be like how if you launch like an Xbox game these days through Steam, it'll still make you log in through Xbox. Gotcha. So apparently, I think Rocket League does that now. If you're a new player, you actually launch it through Steam but have to log in through Epic. Because Epic owns the Rocket League devs, I believe now. So, yeah, interesting. I mean, that I don't know. I always think it's ridiculous that people get that upset about that sort of stuff. You know, people brought up concerns about like account security and things like that, and I'm like, Anyway, I've never had an issue with that sort of stuff, but. I think it looks pretty cool. I hear that thunder.
Yeah, I ain't getting home tonight. Oh boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's storming over here. So, the Epic, I don't know, the Epic thing. I don't care. Like, right?
Yeah.
Like, Epic does Fortnite, right?
Yeah.
The biggest game in the world.
Yeah.
So, account security is a concern there.
I have no idea. I guess because of like the Epic Store just doesn't have as good of, you know, they've had a worse history than Steam maybe in terms of like breaches. I'm not really sure. I've never felt like I've been affected by any of that if that did happen. I know there's some people that do complain, you know, the Epic, like when you play a game on Epic, there's not as many features as on Steam, which is true, you know, but at the end of the day, like, I'm just going to play a game I like. I don't care where I have to sign in, really. Or, you know, it's not like I wouldn't play 33 Immortals because it's only on Epic.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If anything, it kind of entices me to get more games on Epic because those devs get a bigger slice of the pie. But anyway, that was literally the only negative feedback I saw about this RuneScape game on Reddit. So otherwise, people have been really excited to see, you know, them doing something different. But apparently it also does still have kind of the core essence of RuneScape in terms of like questing and leveling all your different abilities. I've played maybe a little bit of RuneScape back in the day, but I've watched more of it than I played. So, but I would definitely play this one.
I'm really intrigued by it. It's because, you know, played RuneScape. I'll have to see how it is. Like, how much of RuneScape is it at its core? It's not going to be point and click, right? It's probably going to be a little bit bigger than that. I mean, it already says your Xbox controller has partial control support with it. So I don't know. It's very cool. People are going to love it, probably. I mean, Jagex has been kind of king of that realm for a long time. So I can imagine this being the next big thing. I mean, like, it looks to take the RuneScape MMO feel and just mash it with Valheim or something like that. So I think a lot of people are going to dig that. So pretty interesting. But
yeah.
I mean, I think we're going to see more of that kind of like big jump for some like big names. I think it just makes sense. Like, you can't just do the same thing forever because player bases will ebb and flow, right? You need to be exciting for the players out there. Now, do you want to talk about Blasphemous?
I do. Yeah, I will. So yes, I played a game called Blasphemous this week, and this game actually came out September 10th, 2019. So I know Tommy mentioned that earlier in the episode. So yes, this is kind of I wouldn't say retro, but a little throwback review of a game that honestly, you know, by the end of this review, I feel like I should have played sooner, but I'll get into all the details of that. So this is developed by The Game Kitchen, published by Team 17, who's a pretty popular publisher of some other games that I just can't think of at the very moment, but I will look right now. Hell Let Loose, I know, is a popular one. You got Overcooked, Sworn, of course. So they've definitely had some good publishing track record. I don't know. it's available actually on everything. Steam, Xbox, PlayStation, and Switch. It's $24.99. I was actually able to pick it up during a Steam sale for $5. So quite the steal there. I would recommend, you know, before we get into the ratings and everything, but I would say might as well just wait for a Steam sale. They happen, you know, a few times a year, and going from $25 to $5, I say, is pretty good. So be on the lookout for that. It is a brutal action platformer with skilled hack and slash combat set in the nightmare world of Custodia. Explore, upgrade your abilities, and perform savage executions on hordes of enemies that stand between you and your quest to break eternal damnation. Oh, snap. So let me get the gameplay up here real quick, and we'll get right into it.
Yeah, I mean, just to give some context, you know, we had to record this ahead of time, so we're talking about, oh, let's do a retro review, and this was on sale, and I was like, did you ever play this? And Maddie's like, no, and I'm like, this is a game, well, I knew that it would be something that would be interesting to you, so I was really interested to hear what your thoughts were, because I played this when it came out, and I had a great time with it. And, you know, as somebody who played like a lot of like Metroidvanias and stuff like that, never really played like the Souls-like stuff. So, you know, I knew that was your kind of background with it. So, you know, I was just really excited to see what your thoughts were. So, yeah, go ahead and talk about the gameplay.
The gameplay. So this game is very much a Souls-like, but I'll even take it a step further. This game feels like a 2D Dark Souls. You know, sometimes Souls-like games don't look like Dark Souls, right? Another Crab's Treasure is a good example of that. Or even another game that I've played recently called Tyrant's Realm. I think I wrecked it a few episodes ago. Souls-like, but definitely isn't, you know, really truly inspired by Dark Souls. This game really is. There's a few different mechanics in this versus in Dark Souls, but I feel like this is the closest thing I'll probably ever get to play that is a 2D Dark Souls. You know, we'll talk about the art style, which is a big part of it, but everything from the combat, the pacing of attacking enemies, it's very similar to Dark Souls. Actually, it required me to get a little bit of an adjustment, because when you play Elden Ring and Dark Souls, you obviously have like a 3D environment. You can run around. You can kind of approach enemies a little bit different. You can kind of, you know, run around them, basically. In this game, you can't. You're either on the right of them or the left of them. So you kind of have to maybe sometimes play a little bit slower because of that. But, you know, it starts out just by really introducing you to the different mechanics. You've got your health bar. You kind of have this mana bar, I'll call it. They call it something else, like Fevror or something. I'm not really sure what it is. And when we talk about the story, I'll explain kind of the how weird the story is, and also why I think it reminds me so much of Dark Souls. But you got your mana bar, and then you have two flasks that you start out with, which is for healing. And then you have an attack button. You can upgrade your skill tree and get like a kind of a heavy attack. You can get like these different spells, which is really cool, that you can use. They have different names for them. I think they're called prayers. And then you can also unlock different things that affect your stats, which is cool. So yeah, it has like a decent amount of depth in terms of like how you can sort of like build your character. Once you unlock a few, you know, enough things, you unlock things just by discovering them in rooms, very similar to how it works in Dark Souls. And then as far as like enemy design and boss battles go, just feels so much like Dark Souls. Sometimes like the bosses have more complex, you know, fighting patterns. You've got those enemies that are pretty easy to kill, but very frustrating attacks that sometimes you just can't run through things. You have to actually, you know, if you die, you have to restart just like you do in Dark Souls, from the beginning, from your last save. And sometimes you just can't run through the enemies to go get your body again, which this game has a system that's like that. So I think they do all those things really well. My issue sometimes with the gameplay is maybe because of, you know, it's only a 2D kind of, sometimes it makes the combat like not super exciting, just because, you know, I guess until you unlock maybe more prayers and you can kind of have a little bit more variety. But at least in the beginning, I was like, okay, parry, like attack, and I kind of move on. I don't know, when I play games like Dark Souls or Elden Ring, maybe it's because of the 3D space there, but I almost feel like sometimes I don't have to fight something. I can just be like, oh, I'll save this guy for later, or I can like try to cheese him. Like, I didn't really feel like, you know, this game, it doesn't have those sort of things. It's because it's a two-dimensional game. It's a platformer. So that's just something to keep in mind, that like sometimes the combat can feel a little bit one note, but then, you know, maybe you get introduced to a new enemy and that kind of spices things up a bit. But I will say, like, overall, like, the combat feels great. It's just sometimes, I guess, the variety of enemies can seem a little lacking in certain areas. But I love their designs, and we'll talk about the art. Like, this game has fantastic art, just to kind of, you know, get ahead of it a little bit there. But, yeah, that's just kind of how I feel about the gameplay. Overall, I really did enjoy it. I will continue playing because I think the gameplay is pretty solid. And I'm curious to see kind of the variety that I get the more that I play. But yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Tom, what do you remember from playing? Did you play this back in 2019 and you haven't played it since? Or like how long has it been, would you say?
Yeah, I haven't played it since. I actually did get it on mobile. In anticipation for my anticipation for my trip, excuse me, and I really liked it. I mean, you know, at the time, I didn't even really know what a Souls-like was. So, like, to me, this was like, oh, this is just like a brutal Metroidvania that I'm playing. It was like pretty difficult. The story was very interesting, and the whole aesthetic was like something that I really kind of liked. So I remember it. Now I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned that it's one note, but also like you don't really have the option as much to like kind of run away from these enemies like you would in a regular Souls. Like, did you find that this was more challenging than like a traditional Souls-like because of that?
I would say I felt like it had a more of like a Metroidvania challenge than a Souls-like challenge, if that makes sense. Where, yeah, maybe you have to take things a little bit slower than you normally would. And there's a decent amount of exploration in the game, too. So it's not like every single time you're entering a room, you're going to be fighting, you know, a bunch of enemies. So I think that's, you know, a plus for sure. But I don't know. I don't know if I, so far, I would say it's more difficult than any of the Souls games that I played. It just feels different in the type of challenge that it is. You know, I think what makes this game truly a Souls-like, you know, we'll talk about the art, but like, just the systems that they're using, you know, and the fact that like the enemies are a little bit sparse and like hit pretty hard, even like basic ones, like all those kind of things remind me of it, you know, being like a Souls game. But in terms of like the actual difficulty, I think because the combat is like, you know, restricted, or quote unquote restricted by like 2D, that it just feels different, the challenge versus like a Souls game. Maybe it's because I have that option in Souls games to like, if I, not that I'm running away all the time, but like sometimes you're like, oh, I'm not ready for this. Let me like go try somewhere else, or let me go grind a little bit. I don't like get that vibe in this game where I'm like, oh, I'm getting my ass kicked. Let me go back to this area and I'll just farm it a little bit. Maybe I'm just not at that point yet in the game, but I played a decent amount of it and I don't think that that's like an option. So yeah, just kind of like a different method of challenges.
Yeah. Not to my recollection, it is not as like, it doesn't have really that level up system, that like your traditional RPG has.
Yeah.
Or is it like a true Metroidvania where like you are doing, or you are able to do the one thing that you're able to do until you find the upgrades?
Basically, yeah. There's a skill tree, you know, like I unlocked the ability to, like, when I hold my X button down, it does like a bigger attack, you know, instead of just the basic one. So yeah, it's very much more like a Metroidvania than a Souls-like, where you're like, you know, leveling up like specific attributes and like finding different weapons to use, things like that. Like it's definitely more in the Metroidvania vein.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now in terms of the story, I mean, from what I remember, this is a pretty robust kind of world that they kind of built for this character.
Yeah. It's, so the thing with the story here is, it's weird. It's very much, it reminds me of a Souls game where like the way they talk, you know, the information they're giving you is not clear. It's almost like they speak in riddles sometimes, but there is some groundwork that they do lay down. Your character is called the penitent one, geez, which is, you're a survivor of like this massacre that happened. And now you're kind of dealing with like this cycle of like endless penance and death. You're basically trying to like uncover a truth. And I just wrote some notes down here. There's like a curse on the land. This is what I'm trying to like pick up from like what they're saying to me, because they are speaking a little bit in like riddles. Or maybe it's not truly riddles, but it's just not like super clear to me. Maybe that's my fault. But typically in like these Souls games, you're just like, this, what is this person saying? like it's your maiden list, you know, or like something like that. So yeah, you're trying to like discover a truth, trying to like break this like divine curse. And it kind of has this like gothic atmosphere to it, but also like notes of like Catholicism, you know, we'll get into that and like the art as well a little bit. But it's a very grim kind of story. You know, it doesn't feel like you're the hero. It just feels like you're like stuck in this cycle of doing like your penance. And that's kind of how it feels like in the Souls games too, is like, you know, I think in Elden Ring, like your character is called the Tarnished. And then like in other games, it's like, you're not a hero. You're just like this, like, you know, this like defeated person that has to try to overcome all these different things. So it definitely has that vibe to it from a story standpoint. And what I appreciate also with the story is, even though it is a 2D game, they actually do these really cool like 3D cutscenes, mm-hmm. which is nice, which is like unexpected. And sometimes it can be for like, you know, if you discover something new in the game, it'll have like a little cutscene, which is like similar to the way it works in like the Souls games. But obviously it's a bit of a more like jarring discovery when you're playing this, because you're going from 2D to 3D. So it's cool that they did that as well for the story. I think it does add a lot, and kind of almost helps you understand this world a little bit more of like how weird it really is. So yeah, I think they did a great job with the story in this game, because it's catering to like me and people that like, you know, these kind of weird games where maybe I'm not really following the story too much, but like, it's interesting to listen to. I'm just like, well, this is weird. This guy's weird, you know? So yeah, that's where I'm at with it. I don't know if you had a different experience with the story, if it's like something that you followed maybe, but yeah, I'm curious to know what you think.
No, I had a pretty similar interaction with the story. I mean, the cutscenes, I mean, I remember, you know, the scene where you put on the helmet, right? That's what actually grabbed me to want to play this game. It was not even gameplay. It was like this illustrated, like, terrifying helmet and blood coming out of it and putting it on the head, and you're just like, what is this game? And then I saw it was like a Metroidvania. I was like, this looks awesome. So like, from what I remember, I mean, it's been like 6 years since I played it, but you know, I'm kind of excited to jump back into it on mobile. So like, it was dark, but like really spoke to kind of this era of like penance, basically. That's all like the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, was just all about either you pay us or you're going to have to pay the penance